So my name is Herb Quindy, and I am with Microsoft, and I'm kept busy helping out my colleagues with a little bit of the experience that I have in background in government, essentially helping the company understand how government works and how our technologies can best fit and be efficacious in a government environment. I went around the room just before to see who was here. There's some people from government agencies. There's people from the private sector here, some nonprofits that I saw. And the message is relevant to all of you. The message is a very simple thing. The obvious is that we're in a mobile world, and we're at light speed moving into what we call the Internet of Things, or what I've also called the Internet of Your Things, right? A world where very quickly it's no longer your spouse or significant other calling you to please pick up the milk, but it's your best friend Frigidaire sending you a text message saying you've run out of milk, right? That's what we have. That's the experience that we're moving to. But in government, this is still a challenge. And so what we'd like to do here is have a discussion about the challenges of being able to move to a cloud-first, mobile world, and the implications of that and what are the challenges are. So what we have here are a few people trying to solve that problem, some in the public arena, in the government arena, and others from the private sector commercial arena. But what's interesting is that I've decided, as I thought about this presentation, to bring together those two worlds, because when you look at government, right, this is a public sector presentation, when you look at government, the reality is that the bulk of government today, at least in the United States, and of course increasingly in nations around the world, the bulk of the budget is actually health and human services. And so we're going to talk about how healthcare has having a dramatic impact in the last couple of years here in the United States on what we actually call government. So that is the setup for what we're going to be discussing. I'm going to introduce our speakers in just a minute after I set the stage for this discussion. I'm okay with you raising your hand and interrupting me if there's an important question or an important statement, or more importantly, hoping that some of my provocative statements will have you responding challenge me on what I'm saying. The concept here is that mobility is about delivering democracy. Okay, and many of you who work in state government are really underappreciated for what we do. I was in the government sector for the last 5 years in the state of Illinois, alternately as the CIO of Corrections in Illinois, as well as the chief of IT policy and planning, which is the sort of like the equivalent of being the CTO in the state. And I spent 2 years getting ready for the Affordable Care Act and the impact that it was going to have on state government, and was fortunate to work with a lot of people in Washington who were trying to plan that. And that's dramatically changed how government functions and what drives government. As you may or may not know, for some of you who are in the private sector here, 60% plus of any government budget today, whether it is a federal, state, or county, is health and human services, all right? And so that's part of the reason that we're going to have this whole theme. You may have seen this slide earlier this week. You may have seen it multiple times. You'll probably see it a lot more. These are the basic statistics from the industry analysts about what's happening with mobility. It's no longer a nice idea or something that's aspirational. It's fundamental for your ability to do your job, to operate, to work. And the most important statistic is the one at the bottom right-hand corner, the 200 plus billion devices that will be connected to the internet. And as I said, it's the internet of your things. It's not just some amorphous set of things. The first thing that I'm going to do is show you this video of a county that's trying to solve this problem already and how they view this technology, because it's a series of technologies that we have here at Microsoft that enable you to be able to pull this vision off. And they're off to the ground early. Have you guys seen this video from Mecklenburg County earlier today? Raise your hand if you've already seen it. Good, because it was presented earlier this week. So here we go. And here we don't go. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you, Ron. So, Mecklenburg County
has a population of nearly 1 million people.
Of 1 million people in North Carolina.
Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, has a population of nearly 1 million people, many of whom live in Charlotte, which is the fifth fastest growing city in the United States.
Mecklenburg County really embodies Microsoft's City Next, in that we really look to our people to harness ideas and expertise to make this county a better place to work and live.
Office 365 has helped us to transform our organization by allowing us to focus on more strategic initiatives, because now we don't have to focus on the actual day-to-day operation of our email servers. We can now focus on finding all the technology solutions that we need in order to serve our departments.
The next steps I see for Mecklenburg County is expanding the deployment that we've already put in place of Surface Pros, leveraging the other Microsoft tools that we use, Office 365, the cloud. We put that very successfully in the hands of park and recreation employees who have to go to multiple locations. They're out in the field a lot. Youth and family service workers who are managing heavy caseloads, restaurant inspectors who are also very mobile, even our medical examiner. It untethers them from the traditional workplace, puts them in a more mobile and fluid setting, and that really saves them a lot of time, which ultimately saves the county money.
Prior to the Surface Pro, social workers were having to take huge laptops out into the field, lots of files and paperwork, and it would slow them down. After getting the Surface Pro, it makes them more mobile. They're allowed to do work in the field.
For restaurant inspections, I use the Surface to enter information, to look up previous inspections, to enter current inspections, to print out and provide forms to the facility operator or owner, and it just gives a quicker transaction between myself and the facility operator.
We deal with PHI, PII, HIPAA data, PCI data, and what the Surface Pro has done for us is allowed us to turn on BitLocker. And so using that device with BitLocker and with the VDI, so when the session is closed, the records are gone. So if a customer were to lose the device or get it stolen, they're gonna get a really nice brick. So the move to Azure was really unique for us, because we go from $21 a gig on-prem to 3 cents per gig. And so by moving our top 10 tier one apps to Azure, and by moving our storage infrastructure to Azure, we're significantly reducing our costs.
Microsoft City Next includes programs and initiatives such as YouthSpark.
Microsoft YouthSpark has helped the community as a whole by helping to raise awareness of this opportunity gap.
We were partners with Microsoft for the Career Discovery Day, and Microsoft sponsored the STEM, the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Zone. When we're able to connect with Microsoft and other businesses, whether it's through a Career Discovery Day or a job shadowing opportunity, it's just a win-win for the student and also for the business community in this city in terms of how we support our youth.
So, raise your hand if you're already there, if you're already doing that. Something similar to it. Okay. Others? On the way? Okay, very good. How about you? So, I ask you this question because this will be about the discussion. Why are you not there? By the way, I have a few insights to why that's the case. Having worked in government, having worked in the private sector, what some of the challenges are, but that's what I'd like us to discuss. What would it take? How can we help you? How do we get the kind of mind share and the problem solving coming together to address these issues. So I'd like you to look at this young lady, and I'd like you to remember her smiling face. So I'm going to tell you a story, not directly about this person, but a person like this. So let's just set the persona scenario here. She's a social worker, and she works in child services, and she's trying to help protect children. For those of you who know, most government agents, government entities have a responsibility to protect children, right, at the, both the state and at the county level. And unified communications and access to information becomes extremely critical to be able to do those and all of the other kinds of jobs that you've seen. It's being able to get the information, get the data to the right place, to the people who need it in real time to be able to make decisions. That's what it's about. It's not about the device itself. It's not even about the mobility. It's about the utility of what comes as a result of being able to have information at your fingertips. Think about the fact that we no longer have delayed gratification, all of us who have smartphones, right? From an information standpoint, at least. I think about my my daughter who's about to finish graduating from college. She's never experienced delayed gratification in her life, okay? Because she's got everything at her fingertips and access to information. The technology here that we have allows government workers, allows you to be able to make decisions rapidly and switch to something which I think is a really important view of the world for government. Think about this. If you work in government today, you are working with founding principles and organizations of a democracy and a republic that were established a couple of hundred years ago. You have political structures from the 18th century which still dominate, and many laws that are still on the books that go to the 18th century. You have organizational systems of administration from the 19th century that you work with. Some of you are actually working with 19th century forms in your government. In the 20th century, all we did is we actually made electronic all of the forms in government for managing the way that we do things. Anyone disagree that that's kind of sort of the progression of things? And as a result, the focus has always been on what's called white-collar work. Well, I served in government for the last 5 years before joining Microsoft less than a year ago, and I don't think I ever worked less than 12 hours a day, and certainly 7 days a week, which is, of course, the case in business anyway, as it is today. And I always considered myself white-collar until I started dividing the fact of what my salary was against the hours that I worked, but I was only paid for 7.5 hours a day, right? By rules and regulations. And what I realized is that we're not white collar in government. We're all blue collar. We're all on the front lines of actually trying to fix things and make things better. But when we think about systems, when we think about applications, we think in administrative terms, we don't think in mobile in the field terms, all right? And so, the challenge is being able to take the data and liberate that data so that there can be creative problem solving in the field. Remember that smiling young lady earlier, that MSW? Well, I'll tell you a story. One of the consulting gigs I did when I was working within state government, with a state government agency, was to actually try to address the fact that over 100 kids had died in within the overview of the child care agency and child protection agency in a particular state in the Midwest. And when we analyzed deeply what had gone on, it was a really simple thing. It was the fact that that smiling social worker approached the door to check in on an allegation of abuse. That woman was assaulted, and the kid was already dead. And when she arrived with a file folder of information that did not provide any of the information which was required to be able to safely go there or to be able to get there in time to save that child's life. So what we're talking about are life and death matters here. They happen regularly. Hundreds of kids die every year as a result of siloed databases. So if you think about the banality of evil that's associated with that, it's something that really has to affect you. And that's the practical utility of what we're trying to solve here and have people understand. Why don't you have mobile applications to be able to do your job, right? We're going to discuss that. So it's being able to understand that all of the piece parts, and there's piles of piece parts, that the technology, you've heard about it all this week. So I'm not going to focus on the piece parts of the technology, but it's being able to take your information, no matter where it's buried in your biggest mainframe, and get it as quickly as possible into a transformed state so that you can deliver it to an interface, to a mobile interface, so that people can make really good decisions on behalf of the people that you serve on a daily basis. One of the things, and this is from personal experience, my mom died about 2 years ago. My dad just celebrated his 100th birthday 3 days ago, okay? And so for those of you who are my friends, I'm probably going to be around for quite a long time. and one of the things that was really interesting, as my mom was very chronically ill with severe diabetes, dementia, and so on and so forth, was that through all of that, she finally essentially expressed to us, don't take me to another doctor, don't take me to another hospital, but take care of me. Everybody understand that? And then actually I spent 6 months with my mom as she died, basically running hospice with her and so forth. I used this. I used this simple cloud-based health vault where I was able to collect my mom's information and put her medical records in there so all of the multitude of doctors and the new hospice people could get access to it, and some basic things that we needed to communicate on a daily basis so we could keep track of her glucose level, her hydration, blood pressure, and so forth, because on occasion we'd actually have to go to the hospital to stabilize her for an outpatient visit or an overnight visit. This became a lifesaver in terms of the comfort of our family as a whole, the comfort for my mom to be able to actually have a dignified passing to the next life, right? Again, I could talk to you all the details about the technology. I could go deeply into all of the bits and bytes that are associated with it. All of our colleagues could do that for you. I tell you the story to understand the utility, again, of how this technology is changing the world. And in healthcare, which is what we're going to discuss a little bit here, and health and human services, this becomes really critical to understand how to take advantage of this and put together solutions. So I'd like to bring up Roger Safant from Physician Partners of America, which is a physician management firm that has multiple clinics, urgent care centers, and come on up, Roger. And would you head on that way?
Excellent. To the back? Or?
Yeah, that's good. And he's going to tell you about their experiences in getting off the ground, moving into a mobile world. Because what has happened is that healthcare providers are one and the same with government today. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, 60% of government budgets are health and human services. The Affordable Care Act drove us to a situation where now the governments are outsourcing to accountable care organizations the provision of these healthcare to people who are Medicaid and Medicaid, which is roughly what 40% of the people on average coming to a hospital. Government is the biggest payer; it has a huge impact, and firms like Rogers need to respond. So I'm going to give him a few minutes to tell us his story and what they're doing.
Sure.
Thank you, Rogers.
What an exciting time for healthcare. I mean, not many people can actually say that, but for us, we live and breathe this. And technology with Microsoft is great to get us there. One of the things that we're really doing is helping on the patient onboarding, which really means that, when a patient comes in, I want to get them seen right away, right? And, typically you go to a clinic, there's forms that you have to fill out, and that data has to be updated to your EMR. We're bypassing that process. It's going to be a tablet. You could even schedule an appointment and upload your information right into our EMR right now, which is fantastic. Because literally, you could walk into an urgent care and be seen right away. That social worker, let's say she was sick and she wasn't smiling, she could have scheduled an appointment right from her mobile device and gone right to the urgent care and be seen. Great, if we had Health Vault, right, we would have had that information readily available as well. So what we've done is we partnered with Innerdyne at BMI with their ERP for Health solution, which is a practice that helps us understand HIPAA better, helps us understand technology better, so we can take those giant leaps forward to make sure that we're doing things the right way. And of course, it obviously is Microsoft. So our big goal is not only to onboard the patient, see the patient, all done through mobile, our doctors going, seeing them, having a tablet device, having their Surface. And the other important thing is obviously optimizing what we're trying to do. Because it really, when it boils down to it, is we want to do things right. We want to do things as affordable as possible, which has huge ramifications on what we're trying to do with healthcare. So imagine, you know, a busy executive, right? We're all pretty busy, right? I'm going to jump on a plane tonight. I'll be on my Surface, and I'm going to see how my physicians are working well together. With Microsoft, with BI, with Innerdyne, we've developed a solution that helps me understand and compare various processes and procedures. So I'll have a physician over here who will do regenerative medicine, which is a huge practice. The procedure costs, call it $10,000, right? We have another physician over here that did it for $20,000. Well, now we could collectively compare the two and say, well, why did this one cost $10,000 more? Well, it was because he took too much time. So we're tying it to our EMR, our AX, our ADP to get that information done. With Microsoft technologies, we're actually going against them and just becoming more efficient from a procedure standpoint, which is fantastic, right? Because less costs, you know, doctors are being built up more efficiently. And at the core of it, we just want to make healthcare right. We want to do it right. And leveraging what we're doing with everybody is great. So it's an exciting time in healthcare.
And Stephen Matthews, the Chief Information Officer from the Illinois Department of Corrections. And while they get settled here, can you pass that between you? Come up this way. Can you come over here? Yeah, that'd be good, okay. Gladys. Just be careful because you're close to the edge over here. And Stephen, yeah. So here's a story. You ever thought about prisons as Health and Human Services? So, yeah, you're good. Yeah, exactly. The other day, I was in another Midwest state. A new governor just came in. This is not Illinois. They, blazing headlines, they'd let about a couple of hundred prisoners out of jail early in this state. And it affected the elections, and a bunch of those prisoners went out and did really bad things. And the very first thing that the governor had at the top of his list was solving prison problems. As I indicated earlier, I was there before Stephen took over my position. And we go way back, by the way, just in terms of full disclosure, we're friends. So anyway, I flew into the state, and what they wanted to do is fix the prisons and fix Health and Human Services in this state. And so I met with the senior person from the prison system, and this guy from Midwesterner had a lot of leather and bling on him. Big guy in prisons for 39 years, real expert in corrections, hardcore guy. He looked like a character out of Sons of Anarchy, if you watch that TV program. And he says to me, Herb, we got a problem. You know, in the old days, you just locked them up and you threw away the key. Now, we got to put them through school. We got to make sure they're taking their psychiatric medicines. We got to give them yoga classes. You know, we got to rehabilitate them. Okay, so the world has changed. The world has changed dramatically. And what's interesting, the reason I have these folks here, besides being old friends, is that they're the largest provider of healthcare in the state of Illinois. So I'm going to stop right there and let Gladys and Stephen tell you a little bit about their journey from the Paleolithic period of IT to where they're going next.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so Illinois has a story very similar to what Herb just expressed in his recent visit. We let 1,700 individuals go home under a 19th century law. Two of them committed some very serious crimes. We had to shut down that program, and so our population swelled. In the meantime, we get sued about everything. We get sued because we're not providing enough education. We get sued because we're not providing top-shelf medical services. We get sued because we're not providing top-shelf mental health services. But when the state closes mental health facilities, when someone who is suffering from that particular illness is on the street and they're decompensating, what do the police do? They arrest them. And after they arrest them three or four times, the best place for them to be is in the Illinois Department of Corrections, so we have them. So approximately about 20% of our population suffers from some form of mental illness. So we started to think about, we've got to improve this. We're Stevens group is implementing a new offender management system in the state of Illinois. And what we want to do is start to bring our state into a more data sharing environment, that the information that's collected in the local jurisdictions is fed to our system so that we're not starting from scratch. We want to know if the healthcare providers in any particular town in the state of Illinois have ever seen this individual before, share that information with us. If that person's been arrested before, share that information with us. That person's educational attainment, share that information with us. And not only with the Department of Corrections, to share it with the local jails, to share it with the local mental health service providers and substance abuse treatment providers, so that when a person comes to our custody, we're at the very end of the criminal justice spectrum. All we want to do is have this person get off that transport bus, put their hand on a, what's called, life scan?
Yes.
Life scan. And we direct them to their appropriate treatment, because our model is not so much public safety, as Herb has indicated, you know, as has been the past practice for the 18th century and the 19th century. It's about improving public safety, reducing recidivism. We hear these buzzwords, I don't care where you come from, right? That's the word, reduce recidivism. The cost of incarceration in our state is roughly per capita $22,000 per offender, and about the marginal cost, meaning the cost of feeding that offender and clothing that offender on a daily basis, is roughly about $5,500 annually. We can significantly improve that just by sharing this information. So I'm going to transition this to Stephen and let him tell you more about the data model.
All right, good morning, good morning. I'm Stephen Matthews here, Chief Information Officer for the Illinois Department of Corrections. And as Director Taylor mentioned, our vision and our plan for supporting public safety and providing, you know, the medical and mental health services needed for the largest provisioner of medical services in the state. As you know, any decision that you make is based on the information that you have on that time. And by leveraging mobility, it puts the data that we have in our cloud-based solution into the hands of those decision makers. You know, as you heard earlier, you don't have to open up your laptop, you don't have to connect to your VPN, you don't have to, you know, be regulated to a particular desktop. When you're in charge of public safety and providing these services, you need this data in your hand. Now, what you see on the screen right now, I have a tablet, a Surface actually over there, and by downloading a CRM agent onto the tablet, we've been able to produce what they call, I'm calling it a dashboard, a PhD, a push here dummy, so that, one more time, there you go, a pusher dummy. So basically, instead of you having to access our CRM online application and drill down and go through, you can actually push a particular icon and have access to a lot of relevant data. If you swipe it over a little bit, you know, we've got general information, identification, offender information on a particular offender, all at one key. Go back to the visitors tab. No, in the home screen. Oh yeah, you got it. On the left-hand side here, now this is the dashboard. This is what I mean by the pusher dummy. So if you're making executive leadership decisions and you want to know exactly what your population count is and things of that nature, you have a graphical interface to see that. This particular portion of the app has all of our visitor information so that we know who our visitors and volunteers are, who they're visiting, and things of that nature. All of this information, unfortunately, right now, well, until I get some tablets in their hands, when you go up to to visit somebody, there's a 2,000-page book that they print out all the visitors and volunteers, and you come and you show them your ID, they look you up, and they go through this, and they find out who you're here to visit, or if you have access to visit or volunteer. Well, by us having this information on the cloud and on the tablet device, our intelligence agents and investigators have access to information. And with the power of BI, they can connect and do some sort of heat map and find out who's visiting who visited what. If you have one individual that's visiting multiple gang members in multiple facilities, we can find that. If you swing all the way over and go to the actual offender management, offender 360, bingo. Up at the top, click down and do offender 360 dashboard. Under active offenders and non-parole, your dashboards, or no, one more down. Uh-oh. He'll figure it out. It's not that hard. There you go, and he's got it. Now, this is actually our online CRM application. Now, the screen that you saw before was my, you know, self-coined PhD device, because a lot of our agents and correctional officers, you know, they may not have the skill sets or the aptitude for, real technology, or they don't have the time to really drill down. Now, this is our actual system, and as you can see, scroll up and you can see more of the dashboards. This has our sexual population. This has our race and gender population counts by facility, security threat groups. You can pull up any one of those dashboards and make it bigger. Let's try the sex offender one. So ultimately, what this is allowing us to do, as you can see, we have access to the data we have on the cloud in real time, in our palm or in our hand. We have, I forget, how many parole agents do we have across our agency?
About 400.
We have about 400 parole agents responsible for managing and keeping track of 30,000 ex-offenders or parolee offenders. So we have a ratio of about 100-1. And so our next phase for this mobility is to do the GIS integration, because a lot of folks have electronic monitoring devices and things of that nature. So that, you know, as our parole agents are driving around a particular, you know, area within, you know, our state, you know, the stick pins will pop up and we have this information right there. And then within that tablet, they'll be able to actually input their site visits and things of that nature. Ultimately, we'll be able to provide this data and this information to some of our service providers. So those who are responsible for, you know, ongoing education or drug treatment or mental health treatment, you know, we have linkages from our system into theirs. Now, that health link that you mentioned earlier,
Health
Vault, yes, that's some slick stuff. That would be really nice to have some sort of integration into that as well so that we can have this information.
Okay. I'm not going to speak long, but I can speak to kind of their transition to and from our community. So whatever treatment we provide, the objective of the system is to transfer the data. We're going to be respectful of HIPAA and 42 CFR Part 2. I got that. We want to enroll them in Medicaid and Medicare because about 90% of our population is eligible. So we want to set up those links where we can inform the service providers, just make the data sharing relationship continuous. So the enrollment process, navigating through that with our health and human service agencies, allowing our in-facility medical service providers to remotely visit our segregation units and medical units with their tablets so that they can, you know, do those site reviews that are required by these 19th century and 20th century laws. Thank you.
Good, thank you. All right, good. Thanks, folks. All right. And now I would like to invite the CEO of Pinnacle Hospital up to the stage, Haroon Ansari, who's going to tell us about how this all works within a hospital setting and some of the challenges there and how they're solving the problem. And Mr. Ansari is being backed up by a colleague from Mazik Care, which is the partner that's working with Pinnacle Hospital to implement CRM and AX. Mr. Ansari, please introduce yourself and tell us about Pinnacle Hospital.
Can everyone hear me? Okay. I'm CEO for Pinnacle Hospital, and Pinnacle Hospital is a physician-owned facility in northwest Indiana, about 25 miles outside of Chicago. So let me tell you what we're doing today, how we're making decisions today. We're using somewhere around 10 to 12 different systems. Some are vendor-based systems, some are internal billing systems, financial systems, and so on, to be able to make decisions. As a CEO and CFOs and COOs in our hospitals, we require real-time information on a day-to-day basis, sometimes on an hourly basis. And the kind of information we need is based on what kind of supplies we're using, what kind of medications we're using, what's happening with the infection control, what's happening with what kind of surgery, what kind of implants are being used, how many ORs are being used, what's the staffing ratios, things of that nature. Right now, as I mentioned, we're using 5 to 10 different systems on a day-to-day basis. With MazikCare, using Microsoft solutions, we hope to have end-to-end process in place to be able to accomplish these goals where I can have data readily available to us to make decisions. Herb mentioned a little bit about what's happening in the healthcare arena. I mentioned that 60% of your taxpayer dollars, it's one way or the other allocated to human services and healthcare. Well, if you break the premium down for healthcare, about two-thirds of that is utilized in hospital and medications, okay? And right now, if you look at any employer group, their budget is around 35 to 38% on an average for healthcare. That's if they're not max rated. Medical loss ratios are climbing very high. Right now, they're anywhere between 110 to 130%, some even more, depending on which employer groups you're talking with. We have a huge problem, whether it's correction systems or health and human services or hospitals, where we don't have access to data. If you go back a couple of decades, I'm sure you all remember Hillary Clinton's healthcare reform process that she was putting in place. She had a great idea. A lot of that involved prepaid healthcare, as you meant, in other words, managed care. It did not work because she and overall the systems did not have good data in place to manage simple things such as level of care, number of admissions, number of readmissions, and days per 1,000 population. And that's how you're able to control your healthcare expenditures. Now, what we're looking at, as you have seen, once again, this debate is back at the forefront, and they're looking at healthcare reform. In some cases, it's a major political issue. We're hoping that going forward, this fee-for-service environment will again look at some prepaid healthcare. And I think it'll be a hybrid system. I don't think we'll ever have a universal system in the United States as far as healthcare is concerned. But a hybrid system between prepaid healthcare and fee-for-service is probably an optimal model. It will work if you have good data systems in place, and that's what we're trying to accomplish internally at Pinnacle Hospital. I can go on and on about what we're doing, but I wanted to have more interactive kind of a situation here to see what kind of questions you have, and maybe we can have some dialogue in that respect.
Great. Thank you, Haroon. I'd like to turn it over to Syed here, who's going to do a quick little demo of the technology that's going to be used, built on CRM and AX at the Pinnacle Hospital, to just give you a flavor of how the solutions are available.
He's got one there. All right. Thank you very much. And I'm going to take a few minutes just to go over quickly a couple of personas, which we work with Haroon and his team to implement in the hospital situation at Pinnacle Hospital. And really, it's something you have mentioned earlier, that how the whole intake process. Sounds to be very simple, but how the intake process make, you know, I mean, instead of have them stay somewhere, you know, I mean, and waiting, means how we can take, make sure that the, when patient walks in, he can really get through the process and get to the physician much quicker. And it's really the experience as we go into any omni-channel, any retail store, how quickly we can, you know, get into the check-in process. So up here, means what I'm going to show you, that I have just searched my name, I enter my, you know, means passcode, and it takes me to the check-in process when my appointment is, what those services I'm going to get during this appointment. Do I confirm that if I am compliant to, you know, it's whatever the required for these services are. And I just mark it as check-in process. It allows me to choose some additional services. If I need any of those, I can skip those. And it takes me to directly a complete 360 cycle from what do I need to pay if it's already covered by my insurance, if I have to partially pay something. So it's provide me all the details, and I can swipe my credit card, put my digital signature up here, and process the complete, you know, means collection process right from here. When I click payment and process, it just gives me the token and we get to the next stage. But that's how, instead of going through 50-step process, that's how it's going to simplify the healthcare in many cases, right? The another scenario I wanted to show you was, that's great, patient center of healthcare, and they should get the enough experience, but the other key persona or other key, you know, is work, you know, is a resource we feel like is the physician, right? How we can make sure that the similar experience a physician can go when they're interacting with the patient, instead of, you know, I mean, sitting on a computer and go through some keyboard type, they can interface and interact with the customer to have real dialogue, or you know, with the patient with the real dialogue. So what you see on the screen is that when patient walks in, loads up this app, he will be able to see all of his schedule. He will be able to see what is new between the last time I checked in and last, you know, is between now. If there is any new consultation, if there is a prescription I need to fill in, if there is a new lab report comes in. So it gives me a full 360 view of what's new I need to react on. Because, you know, I mean, knowing physicians, they don't have time to go through and learn about everything every time. They really need to view about what's different between the last time and this time. Then they also need a quick communication package where they can interact with not only with their care team, but also with their patient. And you know, it's integrated with Yammer. You can see some of the communication between, you know, between the system, between, you know, its care team, or even, you know, with the patient. Then they can also see the complete view of, you know, means today's patient. What are the different, you know, means patients I'm going to see, and what are the key information I need to know about that patient before I get there, right? Chief complaint, allergies, history, what I have done with them in the past, right? Any lab results I need to talk to them. And not only that, so not only it is connecting all of the different data sources, different application at one interface, but it also connects you with the everything around it, you know, it shows me all of the health news. So it is your one view as a physician, not only to connect and interface with the transaction system, but give you the news on almost everything and you know, connect with it. So if I go back into a scenario, for example, I pick the patient, I can see what services they are here for, who is the primary insurance, and you know, make sure that it's going to get covered. I can get into the view chart and see all of my previous appointments, you know, means all of the details around it. What are the last appointments? What are the medication they're taking? Means what were the previous encounters they have? Means what are the different ancillary or lab reports they have? The patient history, problem. So really a 360 view from one angle, and you have access to all of their information. And it just doesn't apply to you know, it's hospital, it applies to physicians, apply to correction files. Wherever health workers, wherever health exchange of the patient needs to happen, these tools are available and be very, very productive for a lot of our customers. So once I know who the patient is and have a little bit 360 view of it, then as a physician or a nurse, I can get into my encounter process, right? Where I can see what was the appointment for, the whole registration info, and then even to the point that I can see what is my key billing information. So I have like billing cards already scanned, right? Remember, it's coming from three different systems, but a nurse and physician, they don't have to worry about how many systems I need to make it work. I just need my information when I need it. And that's really the power of the system is, whether you're looking from clinical data, whether you're looking from insurance data, or what was the last time I paid and how much I paid, right? So all of those coming into one single interface. So after reviewing all that information, we get into an intake process, right? Remember, we talk about that we don't want to get into the keyboard mode where we have to enter all the information manually, right? You have seen that I have gone through different cycles just using my finger and you know, is going through and reacting to all the information, right? Up here, what I'm seeing is intake process. I verified my, you know, his pharmacy information for the patient. I captured, you know, through the Bluetooth integration with different devices. I already captured the weight, height, some information. And so I already have my blood pressure captured. I can just identify that I took it while standing and using the right or left arm. So I can take the temperature similar way. My pulse reading are coming. My respiration are coming, means I take my glucometer and I can identify that I use the right index to take that glucometer. These are the things which matter most today because whether it's Medicaid or Medicare or any insurance company, they need that level of data today to reimburse you for any penny they are going to reimburse you. So, you know, even a few years ago, that was not much needed. Maybe all of that may not need it. But today, every aspect of the healthcare cycle need that digitized so we can attach as part of a claim process, as part of an overall, you know, means claim reimbursement process. So I can see all of those. And once we get through the cycle, we can go into diagnosis and plan. We can review a complete, you know, means physical exam. And in the physical exam section, not only do we have templates at any given point, we can pick. And using that mic icon, I can do my recording of my physical exam too, right? So it is not that it allows you to use your gesture to make that interaction happen, but it's voice enabled so you can make the traction of everything. I know you already mentioned three times. So, but that's what I wanted to show at the high level. And you know, feel free to contact us to go into more detail. Thank you very much.
And he's rightfully excited about what he was presenting, okay? Because it is pretty cool stuff. So I have, actually, I'm going to stop here on this. Can I stop this? Oh, yeah, let's try this. Did you? Yeah, I'm good. All right, you know what? I have another video. I'll wait till the end. Let's take the time to have a discussion here. We have about 10 minutes, a little more than 10 minutes left. Open to the panel. For your reactions, and I'd like the theme to begin from why aren't you there? Or what are, not you, but what are the challenges that you have in being able to move in this direction, in this mobile direction? Or just ask a question.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
How can I get that?
You already have it. If you have Dynamics CRM, you already have it. Okay.
Why don't you come up to the because it's a little difficult to hear in this room.
I think the technology has evolved, the tools and solutions have evolved, but one of the issues may have been that. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Go ahead.
So, but really, it is first of all knowing. Where to find that information, how to integrate it, how to implement it, and what to connect, right? It may just be a simple matter of configuration, a setup. It may also be a matter of writing a small API. It may also be a matter of, maybe if you have a much longer process to build that process and integrate, right? I think what Syed presented is a connected end-to-end scenario, which includes your ERP, right? Includes your CRM, includes your BI, all the reporting, includes your IoT, right? I heard the panel talk about, we need to monitor and track and sensor and, connect it. Guess what? Sensors are there. That's the fastest, according to Gartner, that's the fastest. We all want to know sensors. Today, if the baby has wet their diapers, there is a sensor that tells the mom that it's time. So I think the technology has arrived. We just need to really connect and team up with the right people to make sure and ensure that.
Thank you. We can make that happen. Yeah. Other comments, questions, insights? Montgomery County.
Our biggest difficulty is everything we look at, try to get, we have to go through the procurement system, RFP, RFQ. RFI, and we're still waiting for months because every once in a while another person in another department will even pull that down from the internet. It's no longer even being advertised. And it's like, well, here we are. I mean, we were here last. dynamic. And we've gotten the EA agreement with Microsoft. And it's like, okay, where? What? And no, you've got to do that RFI. Oh, that's too much money. You know, and then obviously on top of everything else, politicians, they move. So someone, you know, has a great idea. Because we had human services all lined up. We had the demo. We had everyone getting excited. And that was only like the third time that we attempted to do the consolidation of our human services. So we still have all these great silos, and everyone, you know, is trying to make the state and county, we have to give back to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to say, hey, no, you got to use my system. And then everyone wants to say, I need to share this data. Yeah, well, I want to share yours, but I don't want to share mine to you. So we have all that, you know, and my key, I keep saying, if our commissioners say we want that done, they have to drive it down to having IT say, get it done. And opening the door to say, we have the technology, we have the idea, we have the solutions. They're right at our fingertips, but we can't seem to put them on. We have services even. But we can't seem to get them together. So that's where we're at. I mean, back to the how do we purchase? And even though we have so many seats with the CRM, we just haven't been able to link them all up yet. Hopefully next year we will be here saying success.
Just to piggyback on that.
Could you stand up and speak? Yeah. Actually, just, I think it's easier for people to hear.
Just to piggyback on that, I'm on the other side of this. I'm a CRM architect and a resident of Illinois. So it's great to see that the walls are coming down. It's great to see how, you know, my tax money's walls are coming down. It's good to see that. But on the other side of it, it's really, really hard to go through the Illinois process and get the information and see these departments come together, let alone go to the DMV and get your license renewed. It's interesting. So it's great to see these folks actually taking stride. But from the IT perspective, we're just as handicapped. We can't get the information. So when these folks are talking about coming down walls, I applaud it. It's great to see. I know everybody else has some, you know, states that walls are coming down. They have folks in Minnesota. Their kids are going to school with iPads and things like that. And it's just great to see that.
I think one thing I want to add, you know, because this is a real challenge, technology adoption, not the user adoption. You already have CRM, you already have EA, right? How you can get something what, you know, say Illinois is using or what I was presenting, right? And I think what Microsoft has done with Azure and with the with lifecycle services, some of those tools, is that we make it as simple as that you go and, like, you know, it's today, if you need a template for Word or PowerPoint, you go in and, you know, it's download a WordPoint template and start using it. You're not buying a new PowerPoint solution. You're not buying a new Office product, right? All you're doing is downloading a template which works in your context, which works in your organization. And that's, I guess, you know, is the starting point to dropping the walls on these large RFI, RFP, which is very important, right? It means we have to go through all those processes. But now the simplicity of the solution is there, where you can just go on Azure, click download, and start using some of those pre-built configurators. And once you adopt those, then you try to figure out how we can extend it and move forward. But you have to start somewhere, and I think there are enough tools out there ready to download, including what I have presented, is just to start moving in that direction. And it may not cost you anything, which means no RFP in the beginning. But this is where technology is today. I think what we need to work more on is getting the knowledge to people like you that is there. It's as simple as you're downloading a template for your Word document.
Go ahead, Gladys.
The governance of navigating state is not easy. I mean, our procurement cycle for this has been 5 years, and we're still not all the way there. I will have some discussions in my state on Monday morning about how to enhance the data sharing experience, how it has to go across human services, how it has to go across corrections and public safety, how it has to go across education to make the state more informed. The policymakers don't get that. I mean, they say we need to do these things, but they don't realize the data is really the solution. So we're still working on it, but you have to remain persistent. 5 years for us.
Other questions, insights?
turn around and speak to them.
Sure. My name is Feldman for Dallas County. And some of the things you talk about adaption, we saw that as a big challenge with adding new technologies. So some of the ways that we help introduce the minds of businesses to new CRM solutions was we developed the App Store, and we began to educate the users through social media tools provided by Microsoft as well. Educate those user groups on how to access and demo those applications. So that when our guys went out to actually capture requirements to do new things, the lines of business already had an understanding of what it took to get those things accomplished.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you tell everybody where you're from again?
Dallas, Texas. I work for Dallas County. I manage lead all development. So we've had 15 implementations last year with CRM, so pretty successful across different lines of businesses, elections, operations, constables and sheriffs, as well as, you know, juvenile, rolling out PREA. So we've had a number of different successes, all through working around, as we say, providing more of a solution than focusing on politics. So we can talk about being persistent. I think we came up with new ways of doing that. By exposing the customers to solutions that really kind of help them in a way that they just never saw before. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Any other questions, folks?
I'm worried.
Any other insights? I would generally agree, but I would say also this to your statements there and Gladys's about how long all this stuff takes. If the world were rational, most of us wouldn't have jobs because the right things would just be done. And so it is about education, it is about persuasion. The technology's there, we're here to help you. So I'd like to close with a little video. That is very aspirational. You may have seen it. It's actually a couple of years old, but it shows you, in fact, where we're going. And I would like to thank all of our speakers for joining us. I want to go back to. Thank you.
To click on it.
You want the clicker here?
Yeah,
maybe you can do the clicker.
Okay, there we go. And then we're at the right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
These folks were available if you want to talk to them. The video is just a closer.
The URL to that app. Before you leave, write it down,
go to the
screen, and you said I could download it. Yeah,
we'll get it,
Jim. All right, now see if we go to one.
That's not it, it's the one at the very end, yeah. That's it. Internet of Things, intelligent systems, not so far into the future. These are the folks who are making it happen. Thank you again to our speakers and our guests. Thank you very much for coming. Have a great convergence. Thank you.